Blog Talk Radio.
As a non-commercial radio station, Ken's FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you, who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kensfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
And if you want to get a reading, if you want to talk to the great beyond, Psychic Sid will help you take care of that. So that'll happen in the second hour, and we'll let you know when to call in for that. So if there's something you want to know about your future, Psychic Sid will definitely help you take care of that. But in the meantime, let me go ahead and bring on one of my friends. I do believe Big Swing is here with me right now.
Yes, I am here early tonight. Usually I'm on second half. I'm on first half tonight.
Well, yeah, as you know, Matthias, he had a big title defense this last weekend. Apparently he added some more hardware to his collection. So that's why he's running a little late.
Wrestling injured and everything. That's good.
Right. And then, of course, Scott Hahn, our favorite director, independent film director, will be joining us in about 45 minutes when he's done with his meeting about the film that we're going to be involved in, The Black Tent. So that's basically what we're doing. And let's catch everybody up to what I'm doing this week. As a matter of fact, if you want to come meet me, the best time to come see me would be Thursday morning at the Fargo Theater in Theater 2. I will be hosting the film festival session number one that morning. So if you want to come down and check out and say hi, I can sign some autographs, whatever you want to do. If you want to ask me about the show, ask me about what I'm doing. But mostly concentrate on the Fargo Film Festival. That's what we'll be doing. And like I said, I'll be hosting the first session Thursday morning with a great friend of mine, Matt Olean. And we'll be taking your questions at the end of the session. So it's going to be fun. And I will be introducing the films. And then there's a rumor that there's going to be some special guests at the end. And so if you want to see what's going to happen there, come on out on Thursday. So, Big Swing, what's up with you?
Oh, just another Monday night, you know. One of my nights off from work, unless there's some sort of sports game or something going on. But the NCAA tournament doesn't start until this, you know, I think tomorrow or Wednesday. So got some free time. I do have a quick question for you, though, because you follow your local teams so much out there. And I know this is the the Fargo, Minneapolis general area. So my question, I guess, for you would be two things. One, my Dallas Cowboys just brought on Mike Zimmer as the defensive coordinator. I know he used to be with Dallas, and I know he was the head coach of Minnesota for a while. Are you a Zimmer fan? Do you think that's a good move for them, or?
To be honest with you, I do not. And I'm not just saying that, you know, as you know, I'm probably one of the biggest diehard Viking fans there is.
Yeah.
And Mike Zimmer was good for us, but he never got us to the big dance. We were close a couple times, as you know, like with the Minneapolis Miracle and so on. But
that was a Zimmer coach team? Okay. Okay.
And I just don't think that it's going to it's going to pan out. And I'm sure in Dallas, it's a different game. But, you know, what I like about the fact that, the NFL draft is coming up, as you know, the Minnesota Vikings have made a lot of moves, and Dallas has made none. What is the deal with that? Do you know?
Well, I know that they're cheap. I mean, they've always been cheap, and they've always wanted to build through the draft. That's always been, you know, always been their thing. But you know, honestly, we really didn't we really didn't lose all that much because yeah, we lost our starting center, Tyler Biotis, but he was a I think an average center anyway. Tony Pollard left, but I mean Pollard just wasn't the same after the injury, and you know, he was more of a feature back than he was the bell cow. So to lose him, we'll get another running back in the draft, or there's still a couple out there in free agency that I think would still be serviceable. You know, and then we retained a couple of players that we needed. You know, we still have the best offense in the NFC, in my opinion, with the way Dak was playing last year and CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks. And, you know, it's going to be electric. But another Minnesota player who followed Zimmer to Dallas was linebacker Eric Kendricks. And I'm excited about him because he's, you know, he's had a lot of plays against
for you guys.
Yeah, I like Kendrick. He spent 1 year in Los Angeles with the Chargers last year, and then but I remember him from Minnesota, and I remember he was a big play waiting to happen every time in purple and yellow. But another thing, and I talked about this on my show this morning because we were going over some NFL draft prospects because it's, you know, it's right around the corner. The Minnesota Vikings have requested a meeting to talk with to talk with J.J. McCarthy. Now, the Vikings, you want to talk about moves that people have made and teams have made. I mean, they let Kirk Cousins walk, and Cousins is in Atlanta now. The Vikings don't
That's not a loss either, really.
Okay, but the Vikings don't have a starting quarterback, so they're going to have to get one in the draft. The only problem is they pick too far up. They pick at 11. So now they have 11, and I think they made a deal to get number 23, I think, from Houston. So now the only thing I can imagine is that they bundle those two picks together, 11 and 23, and try to move up to get one of the top three or four, because I don't think sitting in 11 they'll be able to get the guy that they want. And, you know, there's rumors that the Giants are looking at McCarthy and everything. So, I mean, I just think the Vikings, you know, they let everybody walk. You did get Aaron Jones from Green Bay, which was a huge move. I wanted him. I mean, he's a monster when he's healthy. But you got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, and nobody to throw the football right now. So I'm going to be curious as to, you know, what Minnesota does in that regard, just because they need, you know, obviously they need a quarterback or they're going to lose Jefferson because he already was unhappy with his, you know, with his catch count last year. So, you know, I'm going to be monitoring that. I got to do my mock drafts here for work in a couple of days, so I'm going to see if maybe I think that they'll trade up or what they'll do. But yeah, it's exciting. I mean, I think disappointing seasons for both of our teams. Obviously, with us because of all the expectations we had, and then to get smacked by Green Bay was disappointing. Obviously, the Vikings thought they were going to be better and didn't have the best year, so. And of course, you know, Granny, I know she's going through hard times personally, but her Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl again. So, you know, I think both teams need to look at the model in Kansas City and what they're doing and follow that. But while we're waiting on the guests here and while we're on the...
You know, I'm not saying this to be facetious, but you have to admit, and I heard this, I don't know if it was ESPN or Fox Sports Radio, whatever it was, but they had mentioned the drought that Dallas has had when it comes to winning playoff games and when it comes to getting to championship games. You guys have had a bit of a drought there. I'm not saying that to be facetious. I know people are thinking
people,
I am, but I'm not.
People talk about our drought, but, I mean, the issue is we had our team in the 90s. You know, we were the team in the 90s, the dynasty team. And then we lost everybody. You can't pay all those superstars, you know, which is sort of the issue we're having now. You can't pay all those guys. They ended up losing everybody. They had a couple of down years. Then they rebuilt a little bit again in the early 2000s, and then they got Romo, and then they were competitive but not quite over the hump, and then obviously the Dak seasons and whatever. But everyone talks about how, oh, okay, Dallas hasn't made an NFC championship game since, you know, what was it, 96, the last time they won the Super Bowl. But everybody wants to jock ride San Francisco. Oh, the 49ers are so good. Oh, the 49ers are this. Oh, that's all I hear about when it comes to Dallas and the bar that's set in the NFC. The Niners haven't won the Super Bowl since 95, 1 year longer than Dallas. So, yes, they've made some NFC Championship games, but at the end of the day, all anyone cares about is the big dance. And San Francisco hasn't hoisted the Lombardi Trophy in a longer amount of time than Dallas has. So I don't want
to
hear that.
Well, they got to the game, though. They got to the game, though.
Yeah, but you got to win the game. And
yeah, that's true.
I honestly would rather get there and win it than get there. And I'd rather not get there than get there and lose it. Because getting to the Super Bowl and losing the Super Bowl is just like losing a playoff game. It does you no good. Oh, hey, I was in the Super Bowl. Okay, yeah, you finished in second place. Like, nobody cares. History is written by the victors. It's always been that way. And all anybody's going to remember is who won the Super Bowl. They're not going to remember who they beat in the Super Bowl. They're going to remember who won it. So, you know, for me, I'm looking at the moves that Dallas is doing. I mean, we still got CD. We still got Micah Parsons. Still got Dak. Still got a Hall of Fame guard in Zach Martin. You know, still got young and upcoming tight ends. The problem with Dallas and the only reason I think we need to win something in the next couple of years, 1, 2, I think 3 at max, is because we're going to have the same issue we had in the 90s. We won 32 or 36, something, I got to do the math, but we've been 12-5 for 3 straight years. We've won the most games in the NFC out of any other team besides San Francisco the last 3 years. We just haven't had anything to show for it. However, it is a salary cap league. It is not like baseball where these owners can just write a check and throw stupid money at players like the Dodgers did with Shohei Ohtani. It's more, you know, you're going to have to find a way to pay Dak, find a way to pay Micah Parsons, find a way to pay CeeDee Lamb. You know, if you want to keep Brandon Cooks there, you're going to have to find a way to pay him. There's guys, Zach Martin has got a couple years left. You're going to have to pay him. Make sure you keep that defense together. Diggs is going to get a big contract. You know, it's just Dallas is in a situation right now where, yes, we haven't made a lot of moves in free agency, but we still have one of the best rosters in the NFC regardless. If we can fill a hole in the draft for our center and maybe get a running back from somewhere, all we really need to draft is some big sloppy run defender, and I think we'll be all right offensively, defensively, still have one of the better rosters. So we're not in a bad spot, but obviously I wanted some splash players to get us over the hump. But, well, you know, what are you going to do? This is what we've been doing for the last decade, is building through the draft and not spending a lot in free agency. However, there is a rumor, and it came to my desk at ESPN here today, and as of right now it is still a rumor, but the rumor has it that Dallas is clearing up cap space. They just released Michael Gallup. They restructured Dak's contract. They restructured Zach Martin's contract to free up cap space. Rumor has it they want Stephon Diggs to join his brother Trayvon Diggs, and that would give our offense CeeDee Lamb, Stephon Diggs, Brandon Cooks as our 3 receivers, and then our young tight ends. So I'm hoping that's the case, but who really knows, honestly. But it's going to be an interesting season. I'm gearing up. Football's a long way away. I'm gearing up for baseball. Obviously, you know, the Yankees are going to be starting up here pretty soon. I know Minnesota's promising. They're going to be a decent team, I think, in the Central. But one other thing I wanted to ask you before we get our guest on, which no one's called in yet, but, I mean, I know you're watching the board as well.
Chip.
Yeah, the North Dakota State Bison, NDSU, obviously one of the top teams. In the FFC, I think it's FCS they call it now, one of the top teams
FCS,
in the FCS every single year. I mean, just a winning culture, winning program. They open the season with Deion Sanders in Colorado. That is going to be – well, I don't know if they open the season, but Colorado opens the season with NDSU.
Yeah, we do play Deion Sanders' team, and I do say Deion Sanders' team because he's centered it around himself. He made it all about himself, and you can't deny that. I know a lot of people. No, but here's the deal. I know I'm going to get a lot of hate tweets for that, so go ahead and send your hate tweets now. But it was more of a, this is me, and, of course, his son being the quarterback. After his first game, remember he's saying how he should be the Heisman Trophy winner, all this after one game, and how did they finish? They had, what, 4 wins? That was it?
Well, this was the most hyped up and talked about and covered, media covered, 4-win season in college football history. I mean, they looked good to start. They got that big win over TCU early. You know, they had a couple. I mean, they were rocking and rolling. They had that double overtime game against Colorado State. Everybody was like, "Oh my God, this is crazy, this team." And then they played real competition, and they got smacked around. So, I think he's building something in Colorado. I mean, 4 wins is better than they've had in previous years. But boy, I don't count out the Bison. For those of you who don't remember, you probably do since you live in the Fargo area if you're listening to Kent FM. But for those of you who don't remember, NDSU beat Michigan a couple years ago. So don't count out those Bison. They are pesky.
We've had one loss to an FBS school since 2009. We've had one loss to an FBS school. Just one.
Yeah. So they are they're Colorado's got to be watching out. The Bison, but now that's in Colorado, right? They're not coming to Fargo.
Yeah, I'm working on getting tickets to that. We'll continue that a little bit, but I do believe our first guest is on. We're going to take a quick little commercial break. We'll be back after these messages with our first guest, so stick with us. Stay tuned.
That sounds good.
The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, our first guest of the night, and I cannot wait to talk to our man right now, stepping into the studio by phone. Here he is. He is Mike C. Rogers.
Hey now, this is Mike C. Rogers. You're listening to the Attitude Era Monday Live, Mondays on 89.1 Ken's FM. Your host for the Icon and with the Big Swing, also featuring Scott the Director Hand and Modern Nightmare Matthias. How you doing, Cass?
Hey, guys. What's going on, man? Good to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, not a problem at all. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good. I'll tell you what, and I'm not just saying this because it's you, but you probably got the coolest deep voice that we've ever had on this show. It's awesome.
It's definitely unique, I've been told. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So with that being said, here's what we're going to do, Mike. It's just me and Big Swing right now. Scott Hand will be joining us shortly after he's done with his business meeting. But here's what we're going to do. If you want to, I'm going to ask you a few questions, then we'll do a round table, and then we'll come back to me and I'll ask you the several questions. But first off, you want to give us a background about yourself, then we can have some fun. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. I'm actually been a regular caller to the Howard Stern Show for about almost 13 years now. I mean, I haven't had a call in a bit because, I don't know, after the pandemic, him doing the show in his basement's kind of made it harder for people to get on the air. And before, I used to be on like 3 times a week, but I still love the show. I still listen all the time. I still try to call in here and there. But I've been a regular caller of that. Other than that, what I do in the meantime, I actually have a channel my own where I, you know, try to put some shows on. And I'm an avid horror fan and an avid lover of, you know, ska and punk music. And that's pretty much everything you need to know about me.
Now, have you met Howard?
I haven't met Howard, but in all honesty, over the years, I've developed several friendships. I know most of the Whack Pack. I've had most of them stay at my house in some capacity. I talk to different people from the show. A lot of people that call and do song parodies. I'm good friends with Little Mikey. I'm good. I actually had, like I said, I actually had High Pitch Eric stay with me before. I've had Ask Napkin Ed stay here before. And Peach and Pedman, man, me and him used to be pretty tight. And I'm pretty good friends with Sour Shoes. I hear from him every so often. But, yeah, I mean, over the years, I've actually got to know a lot of these people and develop pretty good friendships. And I've actually got to, you know, back in the day when he used to actually let callers talk to celebrities, I've got to talk to people that I never thought I would even dream of being able to talk to in my life, just being some, you know, some schlub calling in off to a radio show. So yeah, it's had a pretty char. I always like to tell people I like to, I made something out of nothing, which really is the case.
Yeah, well, that kind of sounds like me and Big Swing. But you know, I'll tell you what, when you call into the Howard Stern show, did he ever say, well, was it ever one of these situations, oh, this guy's calling again, or is it always, hey, we're great to have you call. Do you ever think you could come down to the station, we can do some things with you? Has that ever happened or attempted to happen?
There's been a few times where I was actually going to, you know, the whole reason I started calling in was I always wanted to get into that studio, and there's been several times it's actually almost happened, and then once the pandemic hit, it kind of ruined a lot of my chances to get in there, and then things have kind of changed since then. So, yeah, I never really got my opportunity to go in there, but I've had about, in my course of over the years of calling, I've had about 300 calls to the show. I've been on Howard TV several times. They just did a few months ago, they actually did a Howard TV segment where it was like a compilation of me calling over the years, and anytime I'd say, you know, he would say balls, it would make Fred laugh. So they did a compilation all the times Fred would laugh when they would say my name. So I love Fred Norris, so that was like the biggest, more moment of flattery for me, actually. So.
And I kind of actually remember, because I would listen to the Howard Stern show all the time. Unfortunately, I have to listen to replays because I'm not up at, you know, 6 or 7 in the morning because I work nights usually. But and if it is, I'm on air doing my sports show, so I don't get a chance to listen. But, yeah, I now that I hear the voice and you mentioned the name, I do remember several times hearing you on the show, which was really cool because, you know, I never thought that somebody that was even affiliated in the least with the Howard Stern show, you know, would be on ours. So that's pretty cool. I'm totally for that, and, you know, honored to be talking to you.
Mike Rogers, our guest here on 89.1 Kent FM. We got about 23 minutes. Here's what we're going to do here. We'll go ahead and do a round table. Let's start with Big Swing, and then we'll have Mr. Hand ask his question. So go ahead, Big Swing. What do you got?
Oh, is he on? Oh, he is. Okay, so he is here. Okay, Hand. I just wasn't sure if he had popped down or not or whatnot. But so you said that you were an avid horror fan. I am as well. I love, you know, a good horror movie when it's done the right way. But what is your favorite overall? I mean, I took a lot of film classes, and one of them was like a film noir class when I was in college. And I know noir and horror are different things, but it kind of tailored me into the horror genre. And obviously, if I'm going to watch a movie, you know, the girlfriend likes, you know, the rom-coms and the funny stuff, but I would prefer, you know, a well-made horror movie. Are there any that are your favorite of all time? And
I'll be honest with you. I'm so deeply into it that, like, that's such a hard question because I mean, I go into subgenres. Like, that's like asking what your favorite kid is. If you're looking for an overall favorite horror film, my answer is probably always going to be the original Evil Dead. I grew up with the
Evil Dead
okay. franchise when I was a kid, and I can almost recite most of those movies from front to back. And, you know, over the years, we go to my family, and not only am I in the horror, my whole family is, so we go to conventions 4 or 5 times a year, and yeah, it's we're heavily into it, and usually that's my go-to answer, but I mean, I can probably name you a favorite from every kind of subgenre in horror as well, but that's usually my go-to answer forever.
Would you agree that recently, in the last, 4 or 5 years, right, I've been waiting for something to really blow me away horror-wise? Now, I don't necessarily get as deep into it maybe as you do with the subgenres and the different types of movies or whatnot, but there hasn't really been one that I have wanted to pay the money to go to the theater and see. Do you think that movies in general have kind of been lackluster since the pandemic, or is it just they haven't really made anything solid horror-wise that hit the mainstream since the pandemic? Because I haven't seen anything that has made me want to spend $20 on a movie ticket.
Well, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, I've always loved horror since I was a kid, and I'll be honest with you, I mean, you're really not incorrect. I mean, I feel like American horror has really kind of become like mediocre over the past decade. And I've always been a fan of like Italian horror and like horror from other countries. Like when you see like movies like Talk to Me that are like, you know, from other countries get popular, I think they're really, and the French make a lot of really great horror films, and I love Korean horror films, but American horror films, they just don't seem like they've been very good in the past decade. So when something little comes along, you know, and really kind of blows people away, it's a special thing. I mean, I love the Terrifier series, and I know that really seemed to resonate with people, and that's, you know, that's probably the biggest American horror film I could think that really kind of made a dent in as long as I can remember. I mean, but yeah, mostly I'm a fan of foreign horror.
Nice. Awesome.
Mike C. Rogers, our guest here. We're on 89.1 Kent's FM. We've got about 20 minutes. Now, here's the cool thing, Michael. You mentioned that you're a horror film movie guy, and I tell you what, I have got my other co-host here. He is a maker of horror films. As a matter of fact, he's got the coolest film coming out that I'm going to be part of called The Black Tent. It's going to break all kinds of blockbuster records. I plan on putting on an Oscar performance, but of course I'll still have the place on my mantle to put the trophy, but I want to put it there eventually. But Scott, what do you have for our guest, Michael Rogers? Go ahead.
Okay, so you're a big horror fan, as all of us are, it seems, on this show. You've already answered about your favorite movie, so how about this one? Because this is a question I've been being asked all week. They ask me what my favorite horror movie is, and then they ask me what is my favorite horror TV series. So how would you answer that one, horror TV series? Do you have one?
I have several. Like, again, that's like asking what your favorite kid is. I mean, I could give you some I kind of usually go back to the ones like that I loved when I was a kid, but there is good, you know, series from now. Like, I like the Creepshow series on Shudder. That's mostly hit and not miss for me. I'm a big fan of Creepshow to begin with. So, yeah, I'm from, you know, well, I got married in the Night of the Living Dead Cemetery. So that goes to show you, how serious I am about this stuff. But as a kid, I loved Tales from the Dark Side. I loved, Tales from the Crypt. I loved
Monsters. What about the Night Stalker?
Kolchak. Yeah, he was amazing. I have the whole series. Yeah.
That's my favorite series.
Darren McGavin was incredible as that character. And awesome. The Hitchhiker was cool. I'm a sucker for pretty much any anthology series. I actually have something in common, too. I actually just wrote and directed my first horror short, so I'm busy editing that now. It's a mixture between Dario Argento and Troma, believe it or not. I'm a huge Troma fan. So.
Mm-hmm. Is this going to be more in the line of Suspiria?
It's kind of a fusion of Lloyd Kaufman meets Dario Argento, and that's a really weird mixture, I know, but it actually kind of works. So, yeah, it's one part funny, one part, Jolly, I should say,
Let me ask you if you're familiar with some of these other ones. What about the Norlis tapes? Did you ever see that TV movie?
I have not, but I love TV horror series. Like, some of my favorite old TV horror movies, like Dark Knight of the Scarecrow, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
No, that's a good one. There's a lot of stuff. Check out the Norlis tapes, because that was actually produced and directed by Dan Curtis. You remember who he was?
It sounds dark, familiar. I also it's very
dark
an old, old guy like me. Dark
usually shadows. He was producer director on the Norlis tapes, and if you like Kolchak, you're really going to like the Norlis tapes. That was TV movie.
I've heard of it.
It was supposed to serve as a pilot for a series, but it didn't get picked up.
Well, that's a bummer. Well, yeah, I'll definitely have to check it out.
Mm. Yeah, and another good one that Dan Curtis did too. Are you familiar with Curse of the Black Widow? With Donna Mills and Patty Duke?
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember that one? That's another good one.
I remember
Dan Curtis did.
Hmm.
Yeah, he was really, he was very good with the horror genre.
Well, you know, Scott, kind of tell him a little bit about, I know this will pique his interest, but tell him about the Black Tent and what do you want to call it? You said it on here many times. Every time I put myself on the spot, I forget. What kind of genre the Black Tent is, and what category it falls into.
Oh, that's a horror movie. It's absolutely a horror movie. We got a carnival story there. As the main plot device, but it's a horror movie, and it's definitely a monster movie, and it the way I plan to do it, it is not going to be shy on the gore at all. So it's going to be really gory.
I'll definitely keep an eye on
it. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be gory because I'm in it.
Yeah, we're going to have Icon doing all kinds of things. At one point, actually... Are you still tap dancing over there, Icon, or not?
Well, I definitely want to do a have you write a scene for me where I do a tap dancing scene before I fall in the sink, but that would be awesome, of course. I guess you forgot about the 15 minutes. Now, the one thing, you know, Scott, in your in the black tent here, of course, we're not going to go into details about how I got hooked into it and all this stuff because I know our fans would start clicking off and we want to keep our ratings up as long as we can. But, you know, the cool thing is about being an independent film director, and it sounds like Michael is kind of dabbing in that a little bit as well. Michael, would you say is the hardest thing about trying to get your project launched?
Well, in all honesty, I've been, you know, blessed with lots of great people that are also independent filmmakers. I have a lot of friends to pull and help, and I mean, they've been very helpful through this process. This was kind of a learning experience, and I actually kind of learned a lot, and like I really enjoyed it so much. I'm looking forward to doing the next one. So, but I think if I had to think, the hardest thing is editing for me is probably the hardest. I was self-taught. I never really got any sort of formal training. That was kind of a bear, but I just finally finished after this is like 3.5 months on this short I've been spending. I'm really pleased how it came out, and editing was pretty rough, but I mean, I was pretty happy. Everybody, you know, not too many people like volunteer their services with a no budget, horse shorts, and I just was lucky and blessed with friends that actually took it seriously, and I came out way better than I could have ever hoped for. So I'm excited for people to see that. I'm actually submitting to the Tremba Dance Film Festival here this week once the finishing touches are put on, and we'll see what happens. Other than that, I have a couple of my other friends are actually doing the same thing, so we're all kind of film nerds, and you know, rather than go out and get in trouble on the weekends, like, this is kind of our passion. So this is how we kind of kick loose and have fun.
Well, Michael, I kind of beg to differ. Scott, and you can vouch for this. You know of one guy that's willing to work for free and some hot dogs and a place to sleep on the set. You know of one guy that would do that.
Yes, I do.
And, Michael, I wish I would have knew you earlier because I would have came to volunteer my services for you, just like I did for Scott.
Well, I wish I would have known that. Maybe for the next one.
Because, trust me, the way I understand it, a pack of 12 hot dogs and a sack of 12 hot dog buns does not really put a punch in the budget, so to speak.
Yeah, this one, I was, it started out being a $50 budget, and it morphed into like $170, which is still nothing for a horse short. So I was pretty happy with what we accomplished. I was able to get a few friends of mine to cameo, Dick Valentine from the band Electric Six, Jason Yashannon, he's a big Trauma Superstars and Poultrygeist in VHS, and Lloyd Kaufman himself is doing the narration on it. So it should be cool. I'm hoping people really dig it.
So when is the planned release for your film, and what is it called?
It's actually called Crimson Shadows, and if all things go well here, I actually might have it on my channel here in a few weeks, so I'll keep you posted.
Well, is this also something like you'd like to see end up on, like, Tubi or Netflix or one of the other streaming services?
In all honesty, I don't know if they really cater to, like, shorts. I mean, there's a good chance that, Trauma Now might actually air it if, in fact, it wins. So that'll be cool. But, I don't know. I wouldn't even think to submit it to them. I'm not sure if they air horror shorts. And I think everything has to be feature length, at least 59 minutes I just watched this movie the other night called Diced, and it was like 59 minutes. And I think that's the very cutoff point for the streaming services.
And how long is your film?
It's a short. It's actually only 17 and a half minutes.
17 and a half minutes. And Scott, I do believe the Black Tent, you want to do like an hour and a half, right? Something like that?
I think it's going to be longer than that. I think we're going to be possibly a little over 2 hours.
But
oh, wow.
it's not going to be as long as Titanic.
Oh no, no, we're not going to be 3.5 hours. No, no. I mean,
all right.
Maybe my director's cut.
Or all the extra bloopers that the icon will bring to the set. That'll be like a DVD itself, you know. The director's cut with icon bloopers.
The additional scenes you're writing.
Right. Like that one with me at the romance scene with me and Lexus Baca. Now that I'm still hoping to get that done.
She threw that out of the scripts. I think she was interested in tap dancing with you in the film.
Yeah, I know that. And the cool thing is, Michael, we had Lexus Baca on as a guest here, and she had been in many different films as cameos. She was in Jingle All the Way and a lot of other things. Hmm. And she is going to be in the film in a role. And I asked her, I said, so when you found out that you were going to have a romance scene with the icon, is it true that you tore that thing right out of the script and said, I'm not doing this? And then, of course, that was that. And I mentioned that it wouldn't be with me. It'd be my stunt double. He looks just like me, but he's taller and his face is different. So we have Michael Rogers, I guess, here, and we have about 8 minutes here left with Michael. So if our fans want to check you out, Michael, and see, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
Well, I have a channel called BFE TV on YouTube. That's usually where all my shows that I put up and produce are located. I have a Instagram. I think it's Balls from Elwood 40. I got Facebook, which is, you know, like you said, Mike C. Rogers. And I think that's I don't really use anything else. They're probably floating around out there, but that's really primarily how to check out what I'm doing.
And how many episodes have you done on your podcast?
Oh, I mean, we went video probably about 4 years ago, but I used to do an audio podcast, so I've been kind of doing it for probably, I would say, 6 or 7 years. It's been countless. I mean, I like to, if you go back in my archives, I usually interview, you know, mostly horror actors or people that I admire and, you know, people that, from bands that we love. And, you know, but we just like to talk to people that actually we're passionate about, that actually influence us. So, yeah, that's usually who we're checking out. Other than that, we just do kind of talk about topical stuff. And well, I usually do reviews of horror films, which is a big surprise. And, you know, records that we're spinning lately. That's just kind of that kind of thing. So if we turn people on to, like, something they haven't seen yet before, that's really all the reason I like doing it. So I'm not in it for the fame or money, obviously.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm in it for both, and if I were to sell everything I own, I could buy you lunch. Anyway, we have Michael Rogers as our guest here, and, you know, I was going to ask you, Michael, and Scott, I hope you won't be upset when I ask him this, but when Black Tent gets closer and starts production and is closer to release, Michael, do you think maybe you'd be willing to have Scott and me on your show to talk about the movie?
Yeah, I would absolutely love that. Yeah, actually,
I'd like
I would
it
love
too.
That a lot. I was thinking about that, asking you anyway. But so yeah, please come on by, drop into the Balls from Elwood show, and we'll talk all about it, and we'll get people to check it out for sure.
Sounds great.
And
I'm on board.
And if our fans want to check out your show, when does it usually drop? When do you usually have a new episode?
Well, in all honesty, I took a little hiatus there for a while because I had some medical issues, but we're actually up and back. We started again a few weeks ago, so normally we put one out maybe every – it's biweekly, and then all my other shows are kind of up to, you know, everyone else working on there. So My wife does a near-death experience show. She's getting ready to start back on again. And then I do a show called Movie Snobs with my friend Wheels. He's a paraplegic comedian, so he's a sit-down comedian. And the whole premise is I like the kind of stuff that you guys like, obviously, and he's kind of has a more sophisticated palate, so I make him watch something that I appreciate. He makes me watch something that I would never in a million years ever want to watch, some bougie indie art film, and then we argue about it. So that's usually the premise of that, and it's a lot of fun. But, yeah, check that out if you have a chance. But, yeah, I would love to have you guys on. Yeah, just keep me posted.
And for those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, like that. Go to 89.1 Ken's FM page, like that. Do a $10 a month donation to the Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified to win a autographed picture from past guest, current guest, or future guest. And I do believe, Michael, you did send us a few recently.
I believe I did, yeah. Well, just keep me posted if you got them. If not, I will surely send some more.
All right, and
if anybody needs to scare some rats out of their basement, make sure you score yourself one of those.
Well, or if you want to, keep don't be offended by this, Michael, but or if you want to keep the trick or treaters away, they can put it on their front door on Halloween, and people won't even come up.
That's also a good point.
That's why my parents put my picture on their front door on Halloween. No one even comes to the door when they see that picture.
Well, in the great words of Ernie Dangerfield, I used to have to trick-or-treat by phone. I'm so ugly. So.
You know, it's funny you mention that. We don't want to get too off-topic here, but, you know, one of my favorite things about Rodney Dangerfield was my uncle's favorite comedian who passed away about 3 weeks ago, Michael Dale. His favorite was Rodney Dangerfield, and apparently he went to a show in the Twin Cities, and he was saying Rodney Dangerfield's lines before Rodney was saying them, you know, and that's pretty dedicated. And my favorite Rodney Dangerfield joke was, that football team ain't tough. My high school team was tough. After we sacked the quarterback, we went after their families. I just love that.
Yeah, oh, he was a legend. He was up there with Carlin.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, we have lost a lot of great comedians over the years, and of course, my heroes were always Andy Kaufman, Chris Farley, and Jim Belushi or John Belushi. And, you know, and unfortunately, you know, none of them are still here with us, but their work still lives on, and they're still entertaining people all these years later. And it's a great tribute to them when you still see their stuff on YouTube, you hear their stuff on comedy radio. It's just an awesome to hear them still after all these years that they've left us.
Absolutely. I've always been a big fan of stand-up growing up, and you're right. It is a weird coincidence that we're losing so many, you know, iconic stand-up comedians. But that makes them timeless, though. I mean, look at the legacy they leave behind, and there's nothing better than making people laugh.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I make people laugh on this show every week. Just ask me, I'll tell you. So I'll tell you what, Michael, we got about 2 minutes here with you. We do appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. You are so awesome, and we're glad that you joined us tonight, and we would definitely love to have you back on, and me and Scott will make an appearance on your show as well. Thank you.
Well, it is an honor, gentlemen. I'm so glad that you had me on, and please, please keep me posted. I would die in to check that movie out. And I'm dying for you cats to shop on by, and we'll talk all about it. So keep me posted when it's done. Thanks for having me on, and peace and love. Peace and love, everybody.
All right, thanks, buddy. Thanks for joining us. We love you. Take care.
Take care.
All right. All right. That was Michael Rogers, ladies and gentlemen. Scott, I think that would be a great little extra publicity, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I've always heard that the good publicity is free publicity. There's no such thing as bad publicity. Well, I guess there is, but you know, but when it comes to free publicity, you can't really beat that.
No, you can't. That's true. Yeah. And so, you do need it, you know, you need people talking about your stuff.
Right. And we're waiting for our next guest here. And it's very possible that our next guest might not make it. I hope she does reconsider and she does call in. But it is what it is. It's supposed to be Sarah Dolan is our next guest up, and hopefully she will call in. We have a lot of things that we want to talk to her about, like the Blood Moon, Dis-Remembered, Come to the Valley, Desperate Souls, a lot of other good stuff. Night of the Living Dead she was in, Windy City Nights. She's been in a lot of good horror films, and I really would like to talk to her. And I hope that she is listening, and I hope she knows that we do, our fans do want to have you call in and talk to us. So if you're listening, Sarah, call in. Let's have some fun with you. And if not, we'll just move on. With that being said, what's been new with Scott? We haven't heard from you in a couple weeks. What's been new with you, man?
I believe I was on last week. Remember, we were talking with Matthias about horror movies.
Right.
Yeah, you have FFF starting tomorrow, don't you, Fargo Film Festival?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, it starts at 1:30 in the afternoon, and I'm really looking forward to this. This is my first year doing it, and there's going to be over 60 actors and directors from all the films that are being showed over the week. It starts tomorrow at 1:30 and goes through Saturday night at 10:30, and I will be hosting session number one on Thursday morning in Theater 2. So as I mentioned, if our fans want to come check us out and say hello, I'll be there. If you want to say hi, you want an autograph, whatever it is. But main thing, we'll be focusing on the film festival, so it'll be fun to have you guys come out and support the Fargo Film Festival. It's a wonderful establishment. It's a wonderful event, and it gets a chance for independent film directors, students, you name it, to get their film shown to the masses. And it's a great little event, and I'm glad to be part of it. It is, like I said, it's my first year, and I'm glad that that I'm with the organization. And you know what would be really cool, Scott, is if eventually, and I know I apologize that I didn't get you involved earlier, but it would be cool if we can have you submit one of your films next year, and have you come out to Fargo.
Maybe all of them. You know, maybe all of them. You know, I have the two short films completed. You know, Lost in the Night. Well, you know about that. You saw that one, the one I did about the Jersey.
Yes, I love that one. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I've gotten a lot of really good reviews on that, especially lately. People are actually starting to watch it again. And you know, I get hit up every now and then to say, hey, you know, are you the Scott Hand that did Lost in the Night? I just saw it, you know, I thought it was really cool. You know, what's your next picture coming out? Which, you know, my feature film, Lycan, is a werewolf movie that, you know, we worked on for a long time. It's micro budget, and we're seeking distribution, but we haven't landed distribution yet for that. You know, and that was my biggest project, because that movie runs like 97 minutes long. And then I have the comedy, Five Losers on the Line, you know, which is my first time doing a comedy, and we now have
that
complete. Did you see it? Did you watch it already?
Yes, I love it. I couldn't stop laughing, you know, and and of course, we all know that the Black Tent is your baby, but what is the one that you're trying to get out there now?
Lycan. That's the one I really want to get out there. The werewolf movie. I want to get that into distribution. I think we have a pretty decent story. I mean, we're micro budgets. I mean, you're not going to be seeing, like, you know, state of the art effects or anything like that. But I did try to, you know, give this movie a different twist as opposed to the standard werewolf stuff, because I know even I get tired of that. Like, I mean, you know, the whole, you know, the Wolfman kind of thing. That's why I think I like The Howling so much. Remember The Howling? Remember that one?
Yes, I love it.
Remember, they could just transform at any time. It could be like the sun could be out. It didn't matter when, you know. So I always kind of like it when, you know, they change things up a little bit. You know, it kind of keeps it fresh. So that was something that I wanted to do on that one. And then, you know, we're still working on Black Tent. You know, that is something that, you know, we're hoping to really, you know, wrap this and get it together really soon, at least by, like, sometime in June, so that way I could take it out of the development, get it right into pre-production. We have the set model already made for the film. There's lots of concept art. I think I wrote about 10 or 12 drafts of the script. And then, of course, you know, Craig Atkinson is on as an executive producer, and then he came in and did a draft of the script with me. And, I mean, we really want to make this movie. This is really going to be a really good monster movie. For me, it's going to have a significant budget. It's not going to be as micro-budget as Lycan, you know, and we're going to be on a real, you know, real tight schedule here. So I was talking to the guy that will be my cinematographer on the film the other day, and we had a conversation about it for, like, an hour and a half, and we were kind of going through the current draft of the script together to get an idea, you know, for, you know, schedule and things like that, because that was something that Craig was very interested in finding out. He was like, you know, yeah, we got to really nail down a schedule on this and figure this out, you know, if you can get, because the, you know, John McClung, who's going to be the cinematographer, he's been, you know, he's been a DP for like 30 years now. So, you know, for him to look at this and, you know, even my, the fellow that's going to be my assistant director, he has about 46 years, you know, experience, you know, in the film industry. So, you know, working with these two guys is like, you know, for me, it's just really cool. Plus, we're actually going to have some named actors and actresses in this as well, you know, which is, we're not going to say anything yet until we're closer, but I think people will be pretty surprised. You know, as a matter of fact, even you're going to be working on getting a certain person in the picture, I believe, for me as well.
Yes. Well, of course, we've got to keep that under wraps. But, yes, I am going to work
under
on
wraps.
That. The rumor is the individual will be here, and if they are, I will make an overture towards them and talk to them about that.
Awesome. That'd be awesome.
You know, let
so
me ask you this.
One
thing I don't think we've talked about, I mean, we talked about a lot of stuff here. We got about 8 minutes here before our top of the hour break. One thing that we talked about, you know, this film being your baby, and this is a film that you really want to make, and this is the one that's not only going to launch you into the stratosphere and launch myself in the stratosphere and all this other stuff. But one thing that I don't think we ever talked about, you know, you talked a little bit about the set. How big of a set do you plan on, like, is it going to be, like, in a back lot? Is it going to be in, like, somebody's farm field? Or is it going to be in your backyard? How big is the set do you plan on making?
Yeah, that's still something we're working out. This is going to be very Tim Burton-like, because remember we talked about this before. So, you know, and I know you're aware of his stuff. So he does a lot with set models. You know that. And there's a lot with trick shooting that you can do. So the set model that we had made was something that John McClung had to come out and look at to get an idea of how to shoot it so that this way, you know, it will, you know, pretty much measure up to the actual film when we're on location doing it. So I don't really know that, you know, we're going to need a really big set. It's, you know, it's more than likely we're probably going to be outside. However, has been talk lately that maybe we're going to rent some space inside. That way, if we run into any trouble with weather or anything like that, we can just, you know, it doesn't affect us. Because that was a problem on Lycan. That was a problem on Lost in the Night. It was not a problem on The Five Losers. But when you're shooting out in Mother Nature, you know, you've got to really be conscientious of the schedule and the weather, and you know, it can really screw you up. You know, and that's
right.
Definitely and happened to us on Lycan a few times.
Right, and with that, you know, with that being said, too, unlike films nowadays, when I say that there's going to be a set, it's going to be a set. It's not going to be like a people standing like for instance, Star Wars Episode 1 or 2 or 3 or whatever. It's not going to be someone standing in front of a green screen and then you.
No.
Putting the images behind them, that there's actually going to be a set where people are on participating in the scenes. It's not going to be CGI.
No, it will not be. Mm-mm. No, we'll be having a set.
And that's the other thing I like about this. It's like, if anybody ever saw the behind the scenes for like episode two, Star Wars episode two, for instance, like the scene that I'm talking about is where Obi-Wan Kenobi is holding onto the camera thing and he's flying through the thing. All he is doing is just standing there, and they have he's in front of two big green screens, and they have the scenes flying by him. He's not even moving, and no. You know, I love the film. Don't get me wrong. However, to me, when you hear everybody talk about there's too much CGI, and I agree with that. I mean, make it real. Don't make it in a Macintosh computer or a IBM computer. Make it real. Make it so
Well, another good example is look at John Carpenter's The Thing versus the 2011 The Thing. You know, all those digital effects they did in the new movie. When you look at John Carpenter's The Thing, all those practical effects, you know, as gooey as they were and everything, I mean, it really gives you that, like, nauseous feeling when you watch it. You know, you look at the 2011 movie with everything being real overly CGI, you just know it's fake. You know what I mean? And when it looks fake, you know, you kind of, the experiences are the same. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And, you know, like, if you take movies back in the day, like, for instance, let's talk about, for instance, the movie War Games. All right? All that stuff, all those sets were made for real. There was no computer stuff made. I mean, I know the images and the maps and stuff were made by a computer, but they were there. They actually had to build the set. They actually had to build NORAD. It wasn't like a closet that people walked into and had to see. Now, you fast forward, like from the instant movie Titanic, they weren't on a ship. They were on a set, and it was just, you know, there was nothing there.
Right.
You know, like, or if you take Poseidon Adventure, they were actually on a real ship, and the set was actually turned upside down, that they made the set, and then they turned it upside down. And I actually saw this thing. We got about 3 minutes before our top of the hour break. I heard this interview with Ernest Borgnine, and he was talking about how, you know, they asked him about Poseidon Adventure. And he was talking about how miserable it was to film certain parts of that scene, because before they go out on the set, everybody would have to take a shower, because everybody would have to get dressed in costume and then take a shower and be wet for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours a day. Nothing but total wetness, because they were in a sinking ship. And that was real. They don't have that nowadays. It's sad.
No. It is. It's very sad. You know, I was listening to, you know, what they were talking earlier about, the whole bit with the movie theaters. I mean, I used to go, I mean, in the 80s and the 90s, I can't even tell you how many times I used to go to the movies in a week. But in the last 15 years, I think maybe I go 4 or 5 times a year. There just really isn't anything that draws me out anymore to go see it. You know, so, I mean, it's just really, you know, sad, like you said.
Well, you know, I will say this, though. There is some movies that I will go to the theater and see, even though I know there's probably going to be heavy CGI'd. Like, for instance, I wanted to go see Maverick, you know, because I'm a Top Gun fan, and I wanted to see Maverick. I wanted to see the new Willy Wonka movie, even though that back in the day when Gene Wilder was Willy Wonka, they actually had a set, they actually had to do all that stuff. The new Willy Wonka, of course, you know, was CGI, but I wanted to go see it. Now, the next movie coming out that I really want to see, there's actually two, and you're probably thinking I'm just saying this because you're here. I cannot wait to see The Black Tent, because I'm going to be in it, but they announced that Beetlejuice 2 is going to be coming out in September. You know how long I've been waiting for a sequel to Beetlejuice?
I think just about everybody, and I think for years they were shopping around that script, Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian, which I don't really think worked. You know, you can read it online now because it's not happening. And I guess, you know, they changed the title. It's not Beetlejuice 2 anymore.
It's Beetlejuice.
Right.
And,
right.
You know,
and I think
I love Michael Keaton. I always have.
So do I.
And we have about a minute here before our top of the hour break, and then our next guest is going to call in early, and we're going to have her on for a longer period of time, which is just fine. It's Psychic Sid, so we're going to be talking to her in a little bit. But we'll take the top of the hour break here real quick, and then we'll be back, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this, and then our next guest will be on. So stick with us here, and we will be right back after this word.
You're listening to 89.1 KENZ FM, KNNZ FM, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kenzfm.com.
So, if your spring and summer projects include some concrete work, Elevated Concrete can help. They can be reached at 701-866-9018 or at Elevated Concrete on Facebook. Their concrete work includes driveways, sidewalks, walkways, approaches, garage floors, patios, and shed pads. Plus, they offer decorative or stamped concrete as well. And all estimates are free. They are ready right now for any concrete project you have. That's Elevated Concrete at 701-866-9018.
And we do want to thank Elevated Concrete for sponsoring our show. And I will say one thing about them. They're probably going to... I know that they're going to be doing a lot more concrete work this summer than they did snow removal this winter. So and we're not complaining here. I mean, we maybe had, one blizzard all this winter, and it was 2 weeks ago. And we are not complaining because I keep telling everybody where we come from, we have four seasons, winter, flood, road construction, football. So let's go back here, Scott, and talk about a little bit about this before our next guest calls in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michael Keaton, do you have a favorite mm-hmm. Michael Keaton movie?
Oh, God, there's a few of them. I mean, there's so many good ones that he did. Man, that's tough. I mean, I love the original Batman, Batman Returns, Mr. Mom. That's another good
that
one. Mr. Mom was really good. I remember when that came out and it was new in the theaters. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, Beetlejuice, of course.
And did you ever see Touch and Go?
Oh, that sounds rare. I think I saw that a long time ago. What was that, in the 80s?
Yeah, he played a hockey player.
Yeah, I did. I saw it a long time ago. I forgot about that one. Yes, that one was good.
Mm-hmm.
That was another good one. Actually, that's one I like to watch again. I haven't seen that in a long time.
You know, and my wife always doesn't like this, but one of my newest favorite movies of Michael Keaton. I loved him as the founder. He was awesome in that
mm-hmm.
movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yes, McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Ray Kroc.
Yep, yep. And as a matter of fact, not that anybody cares, but people don't know that not only Ray Kroc, he started McDonald's, he also was the owner of the San Diego Padres.
Wow.
And a good friend of mine, Andy Strasburg, was hired by Ray Kroc to work in the front office for the San Diego Padres.
Wow.
And I asked him what he thought of the movie, and he said, well, I didn't really like it because Ray Kroc really was not like that. You know, I mean, you know, of course – This didn't show Ray Kroc when he was, you know, with the Padres. It showed Ray Kroc when he was starting McDonald's. And, you know, it was just an awesome film. And Michael Keaton is one of those actors that can play any role that he wants, whether it be a psychotic guy in the movie The Dream Team. He can play a serious role as Batman. He can play a funny slapstick comedy guy like in Mr. Mom. I mean, he's just a well-versed actor. And I remember the controversy. I don't know if you remember this, but I remember the controversy when they slated him to be Batman. They said that there's no way that he could do it because he's not serious enough. And he knocked that role out of the park.
He did. Yeah, well, I think at the time, you know, what was going on was – everybody was kind of stuck on Adam West because at that time, I mean, when I grew up, you know, 70s, you know, and all, they were still showing Batman the series all the time. In fact, they were showing it practically all the way up to the first movie came out. So I think a lot of people were expecting, you know, POW, WAP, Kazam, and all that, you know, and that's not what Tim Burton was doing. You know, he was going to be doing The Dark Knight. It was going to be a darker take and everything, and that Michael Keaton was absolutely perfect for it.
You know, and, you know, they asked Michael Keaton why he didn't come back for the third installment. And did you ever hear that interview, what he said?
Absolutely, I heard it. Did you read the script? Yep, I remember. He couldn't believe Joel Schumacher signed off on that script.
Yeah, he said, the script sucked, man.
Yep. Yeah, it did. It did. You know, unfortunately,
well,
Batman Forever was a real... Now, see, again, they were sort of like backtracking. It was like all... You went and saw... After Batman and Batman Returns, you know, you were ready for, like, another Dark Knight tale. And then when Batman Forever came, it was like all of a sudden they went back to being campy.
Right. Now, we got our next guest on, so we're going to be going to her in just a little bit. But I'll tell you what, Scott, are you going to be able to stick around with us for the second guest here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, I'll be here.
Okay, cool. So we're going to bring our guest on. Now, I've known this individual for a long time, and she's going to kind of get into we're going to dive into weeds, so to speak, about whatever we want to talk about, and she'll help us out with that. But stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, she is our next guest on the docket. She is the most beautiful guest of the night. She is Sid the Psychic. Sid, are you there?
I am.
Okay, I was waiting for you to do the introduction thing, but we'll skip. We can do it afterwards. How are you doing?
Well, no, but it said for me to not do it.
Oh, did it? Oh, I suppose Big Swing set that out so it would make me look. I get it. Okay, I got it. But no, if you can do it, we'll do it. If not, we can do it at the end. No problem.
Either way, I'm good.
Okay. All right. So let's introduce our guest here, Sid the Psychic, and should we call you Miss Sid the Psychic, the Psychic? What? How should we refer to you?
Well, actually, since the last time that I was on a show with you, I have become a master clairvoyant. So Sid the Psychic seems a little bit smaller than what I am now. So I've progressed in my visions and progressed in the work that I do. So just call me Sid. It would be great.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to channel my inner Tim Taylor here. You said a clairvoyant.
Clairvoyant.
Could you explain what that is and how do you spell that?
So there's a difference between psychics and clairvoyants, and I got the name psychic because of all the radio stuff that I was doing for so many years, and they didn't know exactly what to call me. But I've been a clairvoyant my whole life, and a clairvoyant means that I have the ability to see live motion pictures in my head about your life, and that's past, present, and future. And in doing so, I just tap into whatever situation it is, and I literally see a movie of what's going on. I used to work with law enforcement agencies finding missing persons as a profiler. I no longer do that, but the reason that I was so good at it, I run a 98.7% accuracy with police enforcement because I can see a whole motion picture of an event that takes place.
So here's how we're going to do this. We're going to talk a little bit about that, and then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about being a psychic, and then if you're up for it, if we could talk you into doing it, maybe give me and my co-host a couple readings, maybe.
Sure, absolutely.
Awesome. So So now, when, you know, people that, you know, they hear about psychics and they, you know, would you say that it's kind of misconstrued a little bit that, you know, a psychic is like, you know, like, well, for instance, the way that Whoopi Goldberg was in the movie Ghost, that's not really a psychic medium, right? That's not really, that stuff doesn't really happen, right? You don't really, like, see people coming in and out of the walls, or you don't have people communicating with you, stuff like that, or do you?
That's mediumship, and yes, I don't allow dead spirits to come to me, but if somebody had a family member that passed away or loved one or whatever, and they want me to connect with that person that's on the other side, I am capable and able to do it. So we have the psychics that read the people. Okay. So the only information that they can get is off of you. Okay. Your hopes, your dreams, your desires, your fears, whatever that is. Okay. So it's not as accurate as being what I would say a master clairvoyant like myself, because they're just reading whatever that person's projecting. Mediums actually talk to the dead, and they allow the dead to come to them, okay? So the problem, and I'm not saying anything against any psychics out there or mediums that are out there, but the problem that lies with that is that if you're communicating with the dead, somebody that's passed away, then the only information that you're going to get is from that person's perspective. So it can be a limited perspective because they were souls here on earth and then they've passed to the other side. So the only thing that they can give you is from that understanding of what they're coming from. If that's my grandson, I want to talk to my grandson about this or that, right? So the work that I do is a little bit different because I want to be able to explain to you your soul's path, why you came to earth, why you're here, what your life purpose is, what's going to make you the happiest, what your greatest desires and opportunities are. And sometimes it's also about the hardships you're going to endure and what you're going to learn from it. I know a lot of people that are very wise out there that have gone through very difficult trials, tribulations, and they learn so much about those things that they have to go through, and they become what I would say more humble people, you know? They have more gratitude, more graciousness, more joy, even though they've endured a lot. So my path is to be able to help you guys become happier, better, more fulfilled, and to give you an understanding of why you have to go through some of the hard things and that there's always spirit around us, they're always with us, and you're never alone. So all those people out there that think they're alone and they're lonely, we're never alone here. We aren't. And I understand that loneliness can be a hard thing, but at the same time, and I've worked suicide cases and different things, and again, like missing persons, where people have excruciating pain. So I want them to understand that there's always someone there. There's always someone to reach out to. So if anybody's depressed or having a hard time, I'm telling you, you're not alone. So they want, the divine wants nothing but great things for you. They want your happiness. They want your joy. They want your gratitude, your life to be good. So hard things happen for people that need to learn something. And at the end of that learning, they become more available to help others.
As soon as our guests here on 89.1 Ken's FM, we got about 42 minutes here left with Sid. And if you have a question for Sid and you want to talk to Sid, you can give us a call here at the station, 713-955-0359. And I'm sure that Sid will take some calls if you want to call in.
Absolutely.
We'll do that. But before we do that, Sid, and I'm going to have you. I'm going to ask you a question about a few things, and then I'll have you do a little reading for me. But first off, I want to introduce you to my co-host. His name is Scott Hand, and he's probably the coolest independent film director there is in the United States today. So, Scott, what do you have for our guest? Go ahead.
I think it's fascinating. I was listening very carefully to everything you had to say. And have you always felt clairvoyance, like, your entire life?
I was born this way. I remember the hardest part about being clairvoyant was when I was a child and I didn't understand that other people couldn't see as much as I could see, you know. So I remember being about 3 years old and sitting on my mother's lap and grabbing her by the face with both of my hands and saying, if you would just listen to me, I know how to help your life. And when I would talk to her about spirits being in the house or being around, she'd be like, honey, there's no one there. Go play. And by the time I was 6 years old, I was explaining to her, one, I'm going to be on TV, but I'm not going to be acting because that's all fake. So I couldn't understand that people didn't understand the way I saw it. But I've been clairvoyant. I came into this lifetime 100% clairvoyant. I've not achieved more. I've just whittled down, I think, if I could call it that, it's almost like a peeling of an onion to get to the core of who I am, what my full, not just part of my purpose, but my full purpose is, in the commitment that I have with the divine and to help humanity, you know, reach greatness here. So, I've been able to see since I was born, since I was a young child.
Well, yeah, it's really a gift. Well, let me ask you this, too. Sometimes, you know, people, you know, have with certain family members that do pass away and all, you know, and then they'll have a very vivid dream about them that they remember, you know, and in the dream maybe they'll go right up to them and touch them and all. I've always been told that that's not really a dream. It's a visitation. Does that sound accurate
Correct.
Or not?
Correct. It's a visitation. One of the things that I try to explain to people is that, at least from my understanding, okay, is when you're a medium, you allow people to come. You allow the other side to come. But when you have, you know, deceased individuals that choose to show up in your bedroom at night, sitting on your bed, it's because they have such attachment still to the life, to the soul that they're visiting, and it is a visitation. It absolutely is. And the thing that defines the difference is that you're not really in dream state at all. You have an awareness of something happening with you. And and at the same time, because I've been visited by people that have passed, and I've been visited by angels too. When you have an archangel standing next to your bed, I can promise you one thing. You will never, ever feel anything like that divine presence. And you won't mistake it for a moment of sleep or a dream. Dreams can be vivid for sure. You know, I can do astral travel in dreams, but they can be very vivid. But a moment of visitation is so clear and so purposed that they're talking to you, but it's telepathic.
Yes.
You never see their mouths or hear the words with your ears of it coming out of from them. It's a deep understanding that whatever they're saying fills your body and fills your soul with that knowledge, and you won't forget any piece of those words. You can't misinterpret it, so it doesn't go into a memory bank in your head to say the wrong words. It really is that you, when you're telling somebody about it, those words that they're speaking or the energy that you feel, that love, it's deep, it's so profound love. There's not really words to describe the awe and the vastness and the beauty of divine spirit. Like, I don't even have words to describe it. But if you get, if you've been visited by a family member or a friend or a loved one, you won't mistake the words that telepathically come into you, and you feel at peace once that when they're there. There's no fear. There's no fear.
No. No.
It's just this overwhelming presence of goodness and love and an understanding, because a lot of people, when people think that if you die, it's the end of everything. Like that's how we're raised, you know, that's how religion mm-hmm. says, but we can go up to heaven or we can go wherever, but the soul continues.
Yeah.
And so when you have a visitation like that of any kind, it's just this pure joy and happiness. And you're filled with this peace. It's a peace, a deep, soulful peace of it's okay. I don't have words to explain it other than it's okay. I'm fine. And I'm still yeah. here with you. It's beautiful. And I
yes.
don't know one human being that has ever been visited by the other side or had angels or archangels visit them or even, you know, ascended masters, right? So but when you are visited, you'll never forget it, ever. You can't go back to doing your life like you used to do your life, because all of a sudden you have this sense of peace instead of sorrow, and this peace instead of grief, because we grieve lost ones, right?
Yes.
We grieve them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the grief becomes very small. It becomes very small. But then the yearning of that soul becomes, like we just want to keep them here.
Yeah.
like, wait, you're going? Wait, oh, no, I love you being here. Thank you. You know?
Yeah.
So then we miss them sometimes a little bit more, but at least we have an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Scissor, our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM, and we got about 33 minutes here with I said, I'm going to ask you a few more questions, and then maybe you can give Scott and I a reading, or maybe you can see if we can reach out to a relative or a friend, whatever it is. But now, one thing that people think I'm totally off my rocker on is that I swear that sometimes we have I have relatives from my past visit us through our pets. Is that true, or am I completely off base on that?
I will have to say that is a possibility. One of the things that I've learned about soul animals, the animals that we I'm a firm believer that animals choose us. We don't choose the animal. But the animals choose us because their soul's very advanced. But
like my little
kitty
did me.
Yeah, they disappear in your life. It's crazy when they can come in many forms, many facets. But what I've found through animal spirit work is that sometimes ancestors, people that have passed, people that are still connected with you, the souls of the animals, how do I say this? People just find any way to communicate with you so that you have an understanding if they're on the other side, the ancestors that are on their side. So I believe in totem animals. I believe in spirit animals that they bring messages from the divine. They bring messages from ancestors. But one thing, and I want to make it really clear, and this is very, very, very clear, that when people pass away, they don't become angels, you don't get wings, and you don't turn into an animal. You're a human form. you remain a human form until you become ascended as an ascended master. So angels don't become humans. Humans don't become angels. Animals are not former people, and people don't become animals. There's a complete distinction with that. But that doesn't mean that somebody from an ancestor that wants to communicate with you, because if you look at animals and their communication skills, and we can be very attached to our animals, we can feel or we can sense or we can see what somebody's talking to us about. So they can use those animals for that communication or to be connected with you, but that cat that you have is not an ancestor. It's not a human that has passed away. So they can use and facilitate through them messages for sure, but the cow in your backyard was not your grandfather.
Right. Since our guests are on 89.1 Kent FM, we got about 30 minutes. Here's what we're going to do here. So we will give each one of us 10 minutes. Of course, it may be a little quicker than that for you, Sid, but I'm going to have each one of us ask you something, either to try and communicate with somebody or look to us in the future, whatnot, and then we'll end with me. So first off, let's go with Matthias, who just got in the studio. Do you have a request of Sid, our guest? Go ahead, Matthias.
Is my mic on?
I believe it is.
There we go.
Okay, but I can hardly hear him.
Let's go to the other co-host really quick.
I got down here, so I'm going to process, and I'll think about something, and just get back to me if possible.
Okay, all right, we'll save you. Scott Hand, how about you? What do you got?
I think you should go first. I really wasn't expecting a reading tonight. So why don't you give it first?
You know, let me just say the things that I get from you, okay? Because I already tapped into you. So I might as
well say
it. Yeah, so what I find with you is, or what Spirit finds with you, I should say, is more profound, is that you have this real, you have a dichotomy about you and your personality. And part of that is that you really, truly want to not only do good and be good for people, but you have a life passion, life purpose, and direction. And you like to cultivate that. And you have this inquisitive nature, too. You want to be able to understand, and you want to ask a whole lot of questions. And that has nothing to do with your job right here, okay? So the listeners out there, I'm tapped into him. I'm not talking about his position on the show. So, but you always want to leave something better. You do. And
yes,
that part of your nature, part of your personality, right? And if you get caught up in something else and aren't able to leave something better, it sits hard in your heart. It's hard in your mind, and you always want to come back and make it up, which tells me, one, you're an old soul, you're very intuitive yourself, you're very aware of others. And most people, as an old soul, they like to walk gently. They're aware of what other people are doing, and we want to help, we want to give, we want to share our wisdom and be as much as we can for others. And I don't know how old you are right now, but I think that in the past couple of years, you're really starting to hone who you are in that. And you're taking on the elder role or the wisdom role in your home life, in your family, in your career. And you want to be able to – sorry, somebody else was talking about it and – you're learning so much gratitude and so much graciousness, and Spirit divinely is working through you, and you're trying to remove all the things that have been a hindrance in your life, to be able to have a real clean slate so that you can move forward in the direction and the path that you want and that you're being called to. And some of those dreams and those ideas that you've had in the past no longer exist. But at the same time, there's those whispers that come in to say, but you remember when you wanted to do this one thing? Right? So those are coming to the forefront. And so there's a whole transition that's happening in your life, and you're willing now, again, don't know your age, but you're willing now to embark on those, and they're becoming very important. And sometimes we look at our life and say, I must do this before I die. And that has nothing to do with age. It has to do with awareness. It has to do with, I need to leave my mark. I need to live my legacy. I need to leave for the future when I'm not here. It's about recognizing death and that we only get to come here for a short period of time. Not that you're ready to die, because you're not, but an awareness can come when we're a child. It has nothing to do with age. But I think it's becoming so profound for you. And how do I say this? You know when we have frivolous conversations that don't mean a damn thing to anybody? Mm-hmm. It's starting to really bother you. It's starting to like, I want deep soul connection. I want deep conversation. I want purpose to everything I do. I want to make a difference here. That doesn't mean you can't say hi to Jim walking down the street. Hey, Jim, how you doing? Good. Yeah, good to see you too. But your soul is thirsty for more. And you're in a place right now to be willing to say, not only do I want more, but I'm doing more. I'm making the decisions to do it. So that's how I look at you right now, that you're in the middle of this transitional state that says, I'm here to leave something behind.
How does it look? Does it look like it's going to come out all right?
Absolutely.
See, that, Scott, that's awesome because that just proves how good of a guy you are. And I've been telling you that from the day I first had you on the show, that you are a great guy. And I haven't just been saying that. It's just been confirmed.
Yes, it has been.
So is that not true for you? Scott, is that not true for you?
I can't hear you. That's true for you, correct? Can you say it one more time?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So that's true for you, correct?
That's true. Yes.
Yeah.
As soon as our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM, we got about 22 minutes. So we'll go to our next individual, and then we'll come to me. I cannot wait to see how I'm going to turn out. But Matthias, what do you got? You want a reading? You want to find out what is going to happen with you in the future? Do you want to try to communicate with somebody? What do you want to do? Go ahead.
Well, let's give her my little spiel here first, so she knows exactly who I am, and then I'll let her communicate with my future.
And then she will bury you. No.
Yeah, let's see this. So, yes, I am the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare. North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion, NSC World Tag Team Champion, and as of Saturday, Rudo's Promotions All-Weight Champion, and soon to be NSC World Heavyweight Champion, and APW United States Champion, the Modern Nightmare.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
An honorary member of the New World Order, Matthias.
Sid, let him down gently, please. Thank you.
I mean, it is just an honor. Thank you so much for being how darn awesome you are. But what I am going to say is you are just a complete softy. You've got one of the tenderest hearts.
and I love all the accomplishments that you do. I think that's great. But you're just kind of like a mush inside. The feelings get hurt really easily, and so you have this really great exterior of personality and performance and stuff. But wow, you're what I call a tender. My grandson's a tender. I call him tender. I'm like, you're so tender. He's like, no, not Grammy. I'm like, yeah, you are, sweetheart. It's a good thing. One of the things too is that, you know, when you get hurt deeply, and it takes a long time for you to get over that. And I'm sorry, we're on the radio talking about your masculinity and manhood and stuff, but when you lay it on the line, you mean it. You really mean it. And you're there to back it up. And when people do you wrong, it's really heartbreaking for you because you don't understand. You don't understand how people can't see that about you, that you're coming in with full-heartedness, which I appreciate. I always appreciate somebody that's tender. I always appreciate somebody that comes in with a full heart. Most people these days don't. They come in halfway and or even a partial way, but you like to throw yourself into everything that you do, and especially when it comes to love and family. Unfortunately, not all of your family has been all that great about it. So I see some hard stuff when you were young. And, you know, it's interesting because we always have to, we could have best mom, best dad, best brother, sisters, or horrible ones. Doesn't matter. But I think that you're coming to a place in your life that your childhood and your upbringing may be a part of it, and at the same time that you can change how you want to have your family be. Right, because
I've always said that the biggest part of your biggest muscle is your heart, and I've always told you that.
Yes, you have.
Well, there you have it.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been waiting for this one. Do you have any more to say before we go to meet or? I didn't want to interrupt you.
You know, the thing is that some people are afraid of that. Some people are afraid of being so putting their heart out on the line, right? But in my book, and I measure people, I don't judge people, but I measure great souls all day long. I mean, it's what I do. I watch souls. I see them. Like I said, I'm incredible. I see your soul. I hear your calling and what you're about, and those are the best souls that you can ever be around, is the people that are willing to sacrifice sometimes and willing to be vulnerable enough in their authenticness of giving their whole heart. They're wholehearted, man. They show, I'm wholehearted. I don't show up halfway, ever. I won't do it. And people don't understand. They're very afraid of it, too. Because then they're called out, you know, that they're not being wholehearted. And, you know, what I would say to you is you should be very proud of it. You should be very comfortable in it by now, but very proud of it too, that you're being an example to the younger ones, because you like to be an example. You do. I can feel it on you. And there's going to be a lot of young ones that are coming up underneath you if you decide to put your life out there to teach younger ones, especially kids that have had bad relationships and bad family upbringing. I think that would be your, it feels to me that would be your greatest accomplishment here, is to get some of these kids, some of these young men, or even young women, whatever that is, that don't know that they're full-hearted and that it's okay to be that way. And you can teach them and you can groom them and you can raise them up. Not that you need to have babies. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being, you know, a leader to them. And being an example. I think that's your greatest calling in life, is to be an example. But you have to be willing to be able to go out and do that with them too, because you have tremendous honesty. And honesty is a rarity too. You can flat out tell something, look, bud, that's not how this needs to be. There's a better way to do it. And you can be harsh on them or direct with them, and at the same time giving an example of what they can accomplish here, and that how they're living their lives aren't necessarily what they need to do to accomplish. So, you know, more power to you. More power to you.
See, that's awesome, Matthias. What do you think? You are a great guy. I've said that all this time.
Well, all that was pretty darn accurate, so that was awesome.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. We got Sin as our guest here, and we got about 15 minutes, but we'll before we go to me.
For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world on HBO pay-per-view, ladies and gentlemen, from Mandalay Bay, Las Vegas, let's get ready to rumble! Now, for the thousands in attendance.
All right, there you go, Sid. I got you warmed up for me, so what do you got for me? I'm kind of curious.
You're always curious about what I have to say.
Yes, I am, and I'm waiting. I'm trembling. We got 13 minutes, so go ahead, break it down.
You know, first of all, I would just like to thank you, one, for reaching out, being so patient with my world and how things come and go. And it's always a pleasure to be on with you, and I really appreciate it. it's always an honor.
And you know, you know how much I love your friendship, too. You know that.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, you know, I just wanted to shout out to you with it. You know, I really deeply appreciate it. One of the things that I find so, I guess, fascinating, you know, I guess that's what the word I would call it, is that you fascinate me. You have so many different aspects to your personality and who you are and your soul, and you keep thriving and striving just for more. You know, you're hungry. My dad said to me one time years ago, he's like, honey, you're still hungry. And as long as you can keep climbing that ladder, keep doing it. Keep going. And you're hungry. And the key is that there's no sense of satisfaction in it with you sometimes. You can take that achievement, you can grow, you can build, and you're like, okay, so what's the next best thing? What's the next best thing? And that's not egotistical and being greedy. It's just that you're so curious that you just, like, well, okay, well, we did that. You know, I see you going, yeah, that was awesome. What else can we do? What else can we do? We can do more. We can do more. So it's this growth of achievement and a sense of taste of satisfaction, and yet you're never satisfied. There's never been a time that you've taken enough time to be completely satisfied in it, and that's okay, too, because we can take a brief moment and want to know what's next. And that tells me that you are hungry still. And to the day you die, you're gonna be that. And you're gonna die old, so you don't have to worry about the day you're gonna die. You're gonna be old. So you keep wanting a sense of life, a sense of satisfaction, a sense of, but we still have one more day left, or we got one more hour left, we got 30 more seconds left. We can do something fantastic in this last moment of my life. And you hold people dear to you. Most people that have a sense of satisfaction don't hold anybody dear to them. They don't.
They just want to get to the next level, to the next ring, to the next accomplishment. And they have a tendency to separate themselves for people that they love. That's where the dichotomy with you comes in, is that you want to bring people with you to the next level. You want to bring, you're like, but what are we going to do together in it? You like togetherness. You like group. You like people with you. And I guarantee you one thing, if you had somebody in high school that you argued with or whatever, you'd be calling them back up and going, hey, man, I didn't really mean it like that, you know? And can we still be friends? Like, you keep people with you. And they're close to you. And you want that. You don't want to be separate from people. Hence, yeah, you do radio. And hence, yeah, you got your buddies in the studio and whatnot. But it goes more than that. It's much deeper and more profound than, you know, you have a career. You look at it as, no, I've got people. I'm connected here. And it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch. You're like, hey, I got a canoe. Are you 50 people? You want to get in the canoe and we're going to go down the river real quick? They're like, but we can't get all in the canoe. You're like, yeah, we can all fit if we stand up. We can get in the canoe together. You like that togetherness. You like that group. You like that bringing people along. And one of the things that I learned a long time ago working with the Dalai Lama, he said, you know, Sid, if you're a good leader, you have people that follow you. Most good leaders they're not good leaders because nobody follows them. And you're one of those people that you don't want to lead them, you just want to gather with them. You just want them along for the ride and help them out. And it's a joy because you're so willing. Like, yeah, come on, let's do this, it'll be great. And I can see it almost like a mother duckling with all the baby ducklings following you. Like, come on, keep going, let's go this way. So as a leader or as a friend or as a gathering of people, gathering of souls, man. If I was a Native American and I was supposed to name you somebody, you know, I'd call you Gathering of Souls. That'd be your name, because that's what you do. You gather souls. And it's okay if they go off on their own. You know, you bring them for a short period of time or a long period of time, and if they go off on their own, you wish them all the best. Like, yeah, man, go do that. See to it that you live your dreams. I'm living mine. So, yeah, again, you know, like I said, in the intro of us talking real quickly, is that, you know, it's an honor. So thank you. Gathering of
you know, and, you know, the way you say that, and Matthias and Scott can probably would attest to this, you guys know that I always want to have us do stuff together, and I always find a way to keep us together doing stuff together. Am I right?
Indeed. Yes, you are. Mm-hmm.
And you guys got to admit, I think Sid nailed all of us. Indeed.
Yes, she did.
And well, gentlemen, who was it? What show was it? No, I'm kidding. But anyway, you know, the one thing is, Sid, that I do appreciate is, you know, you're not just, you know, when you broke us all down, so to speak, you know, you're not just saying this because, you know, you never met Matthias. You never met Scott Hand. I mean, you know me, but it's been, let's see, when's the last time you and I were on the air together? 2002, I believe, when I was with another radio show.
It's been a while. Sure.
And, you know, it's just amazing. Like, you know, Matthias, And Scott, you know, she's never met you guys. She's never heard you guys speak. She never met you guys before tonight, and you guys never met her. You didn't even know about Sid until now. So it's just amazing the power that she has when it comes to how she described all of us.
I would agree with that.
How about you, Matthias? Would you agree to that?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
Scott,
are you going to
make me a movie star?
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about that here in just a second. We have Sid's our guest here. We've got about 5 minutes. Now, Scott, you know, we were talking about, you know, some of your movies. And, you know, you and I together, well, when I say you and I together, it's mostly you. You have a lot of ideas, and I have a lot of ideas. But maybe we could find a role in a future project for Sid. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, if, you know, something she wants to do.
You know, like, she could be, like, she could be in the Black Tent, too, as Madame Leona or something.
If you just give me a laugh, that would be awesome. I'm all about it. Yeah. Bring it.
And
I could just
let's break this down here real quick. We got a few minutes. Let's break this down. The Black Tent 2, okay, and it's centered around a psychic, and as people walk through the door.
But we have to ask Sid, Icon, we have to ask her, Sid, will there be a Black Tent 2?
Oh, yeah. You're already working on it.
See, okay, so here's a premise. A psychic medium is at the front gate.
Mm-hmm.
Fans, guests from all over the world come through the gate. And as they walk through the gate, Sid can see their demise. And this is what's going to happen to them. In the Black Tent 2.
I'm all in. That would be fun as hell to do.
You know,
and I'm all about not even 5 foot one. I'm tiny.
I know you're 6 foot
which,
two.
Which would help the visual completely, you know?
Well,
You're being demised.
Well, Scott, you have a pair of pneumatic stilts, don't you?
What was that? I have a what?
You have a pair of pneumatic stilts, don't you?
Sure.
You know where we can make her taller. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
we can trick you. We can make it look like she's 10 feet tall.
And bulletproof.
We can do that
too.
Absolutely. It's called movie magic.
Sid is our guest here. We got about 3 minutes left here. So our fans can check you out and see it. You got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok. What do you got?
Okay, so I have YouTube. Let's go with YouTube first. Sid the Psychic Slash Master Clairvoyant. You have to put all that in to get YouTube. Facebook, Sid the Psychic. Instagram, Sid the Psychic. Website, Sid's Oasis. BYDSOASIS.com. I don't do TikTok. And Twitter,
okay.
I don't run my Twitter account because I just don't. It's too much for me.
And unlike our last guest that didn't show up tonight, you don't have a I'm never going to take an Icon call again website, right?
Nope. Don't have any of that.
All right, that's awesome.
And all of my other information is on any of those sites. Anybody wants to look at me. I have classes out there. I have meditations out there. I think that meditation is a great way to stay connected to spirit and your higher self. That's why I teach meditations. You can find my radio shows out there. You can see me on TV shows that I've been on. My missing persons cases a number of years ago, again, that I don't do, so please don't ask me. I just really appreciate that you don't because I'm on a different segment of my life right now. If anybody wants to contact me, my office number is 928-899-4728. Please be respectful. And I can have my assistant get back with you if you want a session. We do have, though, that I sent over, if you'd like to give them out. I sent over four, I believe, half-minute or 30-minute gift certificates for everybody. You would have to call the station to get those, and you can get those distributed to you. Those 30 minutes are worth $150 for a session. For a half an hour. I'm kind of expensive. I understand, but I'm well worth it. And you can take, if you receive it, win it, however they want to do that, and you can apply it to an hour session if you want to, or you can just do the 30 minutes, or you can give it to somebody as a gift if you have family or friends or anybody that is in need and needs to, you know, get their life together and is in need of my services of any kind. Feel free to give it to somebody else, gift it, and that person can actually say, hey, so-and-so got this gift on the radio show, and they gave it to me, so please feel free to pass it along.
And when you say 30 minutes, you mean 30 minutes. It's not going to be 25 minutes of you talking and get to know the person. You just get right down to business.
I get right to it.
Awesome.
I get right to it. It's not an introduction. It's like when I tap into somebody, I just start reading. Yep.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, Sid, we do love you. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us. And hopefully you'll haunt me one day. I do appreciate that. And thank you for taking time out of your schedule. You are so wonderful. Thank you very much for all you do. Thank you. And we will definitely have you on again.
Thank you so much. Blessings to you all. Have a good night.
All right. Sid, the psychic, ladies and gentlemen, and she is beautiful, and she is wonderful, and she fit all of us to a T. Well, we got about 2 minutes here before our theme song hits, so remember, it's not goodbye, it's just goodnight. Love each other, care for each other, be safe. As always, join us every Monday night from 9 to 11, every Monday night here on 89.1 Ken's FM and kensfm.com. And we have a big show next week. And we'll talk about that next week. So if you want to find out who's going to be on, you got to go to our Facebook page, find out. But I usually don't talk about future shows. But in 2 weeks, April 1st, we are going to have a few interesting guests. We are going to have Bobby the Brain Heenan's daughter with us. And we're also going to have Al Pacino's stepmom with us. And possibly another mystery guest. So join us for that.
Week,
no, that's not next week, because you're not going to be here next week because you're celebrating your 21st birthday, if I'm not mistaken.
You got it. Yep, it's my birthday. That's right.
There you go. And Matthias, we'll catch up with you. You can tell us all about your match next week, because I think it's just going to be you and I, so we'll have plenty of time to catch up with that. You'll be here next week as well?
Yeah, unless something changes.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, with that being said, everybody, next week we are here, 89.1 Ken's FM, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time every Monday night. So with that being said, we will see you all next week, and we are out.
You can hear me. Down to life.
Thanks for listening to 89.1 Ken's FM. We are listener-supported radio, so the programming you hear on our station is funded by our members and these local and area businesses. So you're hungry, and you're thinking about some place to eat? Well, I think of the Shack on Broadway, located in North Fargo at 3215 Broadway. They feature daily breakfast, lunch, and dinner specials and have been twice voted best breakfast in town. They are open at 6 a.m. every day until 8 p.m. Monday through Friday and until 2 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. They take care of all of your to-go needs as well, plus handling that quick meal before or after running to the lakes this summer. I'm thinking Shack on Broadway still. They're at 3215 Broadway in North Fargo.
You're listening to 89.1 Ken's FM, KNNZ-FM, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kensfm.com.
From feature story news in Washington, I'm Nick Harper. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has agreed to send a team to Washington to discuss U.S. fears about a ground offensive of Rafah. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan confirmed the plan after Netanyahu and Biden spoke by phone on Monday. More than a million civilians are crammed into Rafah, having fled south to escape Israel bombardments and offensives in other parts of the Gaza Strip. Sullivan warned of the problems a ground offensive could create.
Our position is that Hamas should not be allowed a safe haven in Rafah or anywhere else, but a major ground operation there would be a mistake. It would lead to more innocent civilian deaths, worsen the already dire humanitarian crisis, deepen the anarchy in Gaza, and further isolate Israel internationally.
Meanwhile, the United Nations has warned new food insecurity data shows that famine is projected for Gaza at any time. FSN's Jody Jacobs reports from UN headquarters in New York.
Earlier this year, the Famine Review Committee warned that famine may occur by the end of May 2024 in Gaza. But in an alert released on Monday, the committee says that the...